acorns are dropping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, flowery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 59, Known for Pi. Sunday, November 9th, 2014. I'm your host, Sarah, podcasting from Yinhu Chaiyuan, Silver Lake Tea House. Show notes for this episode can be found on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. You can find me on social media as Sarah Pomegranate. The Yarns at Yin Hu podcast has a Facebook page and a group on Ravelry, where there's great conversation going on every week. The entirety of today's episode is devoted to an interview with my mom, Kathleen, and we talk about the subject of pies and baking pies. I have longed, since I began this podcast over a year ago, to tap into my mom's considerable knowledge about baking and culinary knowledge in general, but I know she has a lot to say on the subject of pies. I had a long weekend from work this week because it was a teacher's convention weekend. I haven't seen my mom for a while because she's been busy and I've been busy, so we made a point to spend quite a bit of time together. I helped her with some tasks she needed to do in the kitchen, which you'll find out more about in the interview. And in return, she agreed to talk for just a few minutes about pies. And it turned into, I think, about a 40-minute interview. One reason for airing this interview and this episode during the month of November is that for the Bulk Bins cook-along, we are focusing on flour. Flour is crucial for pie making, and in coming episodes, I hope to talk a little bit more about different kinds of flour and their most effective uses. If you have any questions about pies and pie baking, or if you have any wisdom to share, I hope you will contribute it to the Ravelry discussion board. There is a thread for the Bulk Bins cook-along month of November. It says flour in the subject line, and that can be a place for Yarns at Yin Hu listeners to have some very interesting and hopefully helpful discussions about baking. I don't know about you, but November is a month when I make more pies probably than any other month. And I like to experiment, I like to have my questions answered, and I'm sure you do too. I'm hoping we can turn the Ravelry discussion thread into something really helpful and useful, and maybe even inspirational. Later this week, I plan to release a recipe for the Bulk Bins cook-along. Each month, I try to create at least one recipe that goes along with the Bulk Bins item with which we've been cooking. And this month, I plan to release at least one recipe. The first one I have planned is for something called Mile High Apple Pie. It is a recipe, but for those of you who are experienced bakers, this could also be just an idea that you use in your own baking. I've started work on this recipe already, and I hope to have everything completed sometime during the week, and I'll certainly post on Facebook and Instagram to let you know that the recipe is up and available as a blog post on my website. yarnsatyanhu.com.
Well, this is the moment that Yarns at Yinhu listeners have really been looking forward to. Some talk with you about pies and pie making. Do you remember making your first pie?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about it?
I remember it, the crust kind of sticking to what I was rolling it out on and to the rolling pin. But the big thing I do remember is my mother didn't like the way I crimped the edge.
What?
She complained about my crimping around the edge of the pie. And I was really kind of insulted because I put so much effort into making this pie crust. And I'm sure I overworked it, so it was tough. I'm sure it was.
How old were you?
I want to say like maybe 9. Probably 9. Yeah. Like that. I started getting really interested in cooking, and my mother was, well, I was always making breakfast from the time I was really young, probably 6 or 7, I guess. But then, you know, getting into more of cooking and baking. I made cookies before that time, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you've made a lot of pies.
Yeah.
And you're known for your pies.
I am.
Do you really enjoy making pies?
I do.
Why?
It's creative. I mean, I gotta say something about how I get aggravated when people cut them messy. Because I put so much time into trying to make a beautiful pie. And I get so upset when someone, especially if it's a meringue pie or something, and they ruin it. They just, I'm like, I feel like it's my masterpiece and they wrecked it. It still tastes good, but yeah. No, I do like doing it. I guess because it comes easy to me. It's a creative thing.
Do you think it comes easy to you because it comes easy to you? Or do you think it comes easily to you because you've made so many pies?
Oh, well, definitely because I've made so many pies. I mean, I will, you know, I can make 12 or 14 pies and it's not a full day. And I've made that many pies. And, you know, everything from scratch pretty much. So, you know, even slice, you know, cutting up the apples or rhubarb or strawberries or whatever it is. So it's, you know, intense. It's not like I'm pouring and filling out of a can. Very rare. Not saying I never do, but yeah.
Well, I've been helping you today and making the crusts for, well, the dough for crusts for how many pies?
I'll probably make 12 to 14 pies tomorrow.
And why will you make so many pies in one day?
Well, because I'm having an event at my church, and basically there'll be 400 people probably there to eat, and I do have a reputation for pies. So, and I enjoy doing it, and I actually have a lot of, I put away a lot of fruit, and even though my orchard isn't as good as what it was, I always get fruit that I can make pies out of, you know, every year I have something that I put away, so I used to have a lot more. I think that's probably how I got into making so many because I did have a lot of stuff available to me. So, and it's so nice when it's fresh and just mm-hmm. make it. So, yeah, not so. The problem with pie filling that you buy in a can is it's a lot of cornstarch and not necessarily a lot of fruit, sometimes juice thickened.
Yeah, it's a lot of goo in those cans and not a lot of pieces of fruit.
Right, and some's too sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, it works. I'm not saying I never use them. It's handy and it's quick. So if you have some pie, you know, if you make up some pie crust and you throw them in the freezer, someone stops by, you could throw, if you have some canned, you could throw something in the oven very quickly. Just put the filling in, put a crumb chop on and throw it in the oven. And it smells, even if it's not quite as good as your own, it smells so good baking that they'll think it is. Mm. Just really good.
So the impressive factor for pies is pretty high. It ranks pretty high. And a lot of people are very scared of doing it. So you can kind of look like $1 million just because you're making the crust yourself.
Yeah, that's true. Although, I said something about the pie fillings. You know, if you buy a crust mix, and and you roll it out, those, they're not too bad. I think probably if you look at the ingredients, you might choke a little, but, you know, that's not so bad. It's a way to start if you're scared.
I want you to know that I have never once ever purchased a pie crust, because I feel like if I did that, within 12 hours, you would call me up and you would say something like, "You're still making your own pie crusts, right?" Like, you would somehow know. I would feel so guilty.
Yeah. You would.
So if you're nervous about it, that could be a good place to start.
Well,
start
with the
filling.
Well, you can learn
how to roll. Okay.
Yeah, you could definitely learn how to crimp, roll, crimping. Like, I didn't do it right at first, but whatever.
Well, that is a signature aspect of a pie, is how it's crimped. And I don't know if this is true, but I suspect that one of the reasons people have such an emotional reaction to your pie is that you almost consistently do a very large index finger and thumb of one hand, pointer finger of the other, a very wavy, loose crimp around the end that has a rustic, handmade look to it. And I think people have an emotional reaction to that, actually.
Yeah, they do. And I've always done it that way, although just recently I picked up on, I see a lot of this done today, where they just pull the whole crust in over the fruit and then maybe make a glaze or something on top. And sometimes if I'm in a hurry, I will do that. Although I do feel like it's unfinished when I do it. But it works. I mean, it does work. I also have, sometimes when you make a pie that has to be in the oven for a long time, and when you're using a lot of fruit and it's fresh fruit and it's not a pie filling, it takes longer to cook the pie. So you need to be careful of your crimping and your crust that you don't burn that before the pie should really bubble in the center to be done.
So are you saying that if you have a long cooking pie, what would be the longest cooking? Like apple to cook through all of that
thick
filling,
custard pumpkin,
and so then you should have a type of crust and crimp that's going to be maybe thicker. Yeah. If you have something brittle, it's going to be burning before the pie is done.
Either that, or you have to cover it.
Okay,
you can take some foil, just strips of foil, or they sell all kinds of things that cover crust now, little like aluminum pieces that you can lay on top of it. But it does make a difference, or keep an eye on it when it's in the oven. Because the pie, for a pie to be really good and to come out of the pie plate well and not be soggy in the middle, it really should bubble up in the middle. If it's a fruit or something, it should bubble. It'll be bubbling around the outside, but it could still be kind of raw in the center. And then underneath that, the crust might be a little bit not so good either.
Okay. All right, so let's talk about making the dough for a pie crust. This is what I was doing about an hour ago under your direction. Cold metal bowl.
Yep.
We had a cool kitchen, so that was great. Mm-hmm. I put 2 cups of flour, and you said you always use all-purpose flour.
I don't always, but I would say that it's a lot easier to do a pie crust with all-purpose.
As opposed to?
A pastry flour, you could put part pastry flour. Pastry flour is not really all that hard to work with. Of course, I am experienced and I'm saying that. But sometimes unbleached flour, I don't really know the reason for this. It can be a little bit difficult to deal with. It just doesn't stick together to roll it out. It'll break up a lot more. So I would say, and I use a lot of unbleached flour, but usually if I have a lot of pie crust to make, or especially if it's a rainy, damp day or something, I would definitely use all-purpose flour.
All right. So cold metal bowl, 2 cups of all-purpose flour, because that's enough for 2 crusts or a double crust pie.
Yep.
Then you had me put about a tablespoon of sugar.
Mm-hmm. I did.
And a little, I don't know, maybe that was like a 1/4 teaspoon or so of salt.
Mm-hmm.
And we used, because we were mass producing pie crust today, we used a shortening. For special holiday pies, would you typically use butter?
The best pie crust to me is half butter and half of a shortening.
Okay.
Makes a really nice pie crust. A butter crust is really nice because it's crunchy and crisp, but it's a little bit harder.
It is. I noticed that.
Than what a, you know, you get a little more flakiness. So I would say when you put the Crisco and the butter together, you get the flavor of the butter, but you get the flakiness of the Crisco, and it just makes a nice combination. So you might do, I don't know if you talk about amounts, but you might do like a third of a cup of butter and a third of a cup of some kind of shortening.
Right. And so for today, that was our measurement. For the 2 cups of flour, we used 2/3 of a cup of shortening.
Yep.
And then I have always seen you use, and I have always used, a pastry cutter, a handheld pastry cutter, to cut that in. You don't want to touch it because you don't want to heat it up.
That's right.
So if you just have the metal tool, everything is staying a lot cooler.
Yeah. You don't want it to start to come together until you put your liquid in. So I've seen people take their hand in there and like mash it up, and that is not the way it works for pie crust. It just doesn't work.
And so you cut the shortening in until you have a crumbly texture.
Yeah, real tiny. Try not to have any big chunks.
So pea size.
Yeah, even
maybe even smaller, even than sandier that. Than
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it happens very quickly. I know people talk about doing this in a food processor. It happens so quickly. To me, the effort of putting all that in a food processor and then having...
Well, you have to listen to it run. It's sort of, I don't know, it's more peaceful making it with the pastry blender.
It is.
Yeah.
I like the pastry cutter.
Mm-hmm.
So then once it's the texture you want and all of that fat has been cut into the flour, you taught me to have ice cold water
mm-hmm.
at the ready. If it isn't water, are there some other options for what you could use for your liquid?
Yeah, if you want a richer pie crust and more, a little bit more pastry-like, if you put milk and an egg yolk, but you want to make sure that is cold too. And what you do is beat the egg yolk and then add your cold milk to it and then, you know, use that like you would the ice water. You can use other things too, other liquids. I know some people are using alcohol today, some alcohol in it, vodka or other things. And that can give another taste to it. Now, something I've been experimenting a little bit with is putting just a little bit of an extract in it.
Yeah.
And depending on like what kind of pie, like today I've had you put a little bit of maple extract in the pecan pies. And just adds a really nice little, maybe even if you were making like a chocolate pie or something like that, it's nice too with a vanilla, you know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Just or sometimes orange or lemon is nice with certain fruits. Just a tiny bit, just to give it a little bit of a taste. So your pie crust is interesting also.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. But yeah, not much. Like I'm saying, very little. Quarter of a teaspoon probably is enough, you know. So
I have the mixture in the bowl, pea to sandy texture, and then just...
Take a fork, do not use a spoon, and sprinkle your liquid over and keep forking it around until it comes together. I was always taught they should keep it really dry, and then you get the most tender crust that way. And it's been interesting because I've been, even though I'm old, I've been reading on, you know, ways to make different pie crusts. And they were saying it was better to have it a little bit wet. Now, if you're going to roll out your pie immediately with the stuff, I would say to keep it a little more on the dry side. But if you're going to put it in the refrigerator and it's going to chill and it's going to stiffen up, you probably are better off putting it in a little bit more liquid and then making your disc and wrapping it in wax paper and putting it in the refrigerator for at least a half an hour.
Mm-hmm. Now, is it okay to use the heat of your hands to finally bring that dough together?
Don't play with it, though.
No playing.
It
no kneading.
It's tough. And, we'll probably move on to rolling it out. But that's the very important place not to play with it. You can move it around a little bit and get it, you know, sort of round it out with your hands,
mm-hmm.
but don't roll it out and then decide to ball it back up and roll it out again, because you will have a tough pie crust. And it may happen the first time you do it that you have to do that,
mm-hmm.
but you'll learn that, you know, And it's okay if it's not perfect. If it gets a hole in it, take a little piece of dough from the side, stick it on the crack, and push it in. It's all right. It's okay. It'll
come out. It's only pie.
Yeah, and not only that, but by the time you stick the filling in and bake it, it's beautiful. So it's okay. It's really all right.
And that's what we did today. I cut the dough. Once I had it kind of coming together, there was still a bit of a crumble to it, but then I cut it in half as evenly as I could, and I just quickly shaped each half into a disc. Mm-hmm. You took it, put it in wax paper, parchment paper, wrapped it up, put it in the refrigerator, and you said at least a half hour. So for the beginner, I think that's a good recommendation, mm-hmm. is let it rest. It's easier to work with, and you chill it back up again.
Right. And you can leave it and do it the next day. So if you were doing a bunch of pies, you can put that in there, and that's one thing done. I will say that if you roll them out that day right away and you stick the pie crust in the dish, in the refrigerator, it seems to tenderize it just as much as it does in that disc, which is interesting. Mm. In the chilled. Mm-hmm. It does. So you come out with a pretty tender one if you do that too. If you know, if you say, okay, I only want to, well, you could always refrigerate it and then do it a half an hour later. But if you're in a hurry and you just roll them out, stick it in the refrigerator, and then fill them the next day, it works.
And I've seen you freeze crusts in in the pie dish, mm-hmm. especially around the holidays, ready just to put the filling in it. Mm-hmm. How mm-hmm. long, if I put my dough into a disc, wrap it in wax paper, parchment paper, put it in the refrigerator, how long can I leave it in there before I use it?
I would say like maybe 4 days.
Okay. Now, could I freeze the dough like that?
I don't know. I've never done that.
If you freeze it, you put it in.
Yeah, I freeze it in there. I've even frozen pies completely made. Mm-hmm.
Well, one thing I heard an interview with a very well-respected baker in the restaurant business, and they said if there were one tip they could give the home baker from industry baking or restaurant style baking, they would say, use your freezer more. That in the restaurant business, the pastry chef is using the freezer on a lot more regular basis than the home cook would. To chill things, to make things ahead, do things in parts. And she said that home bakers don't usually think of doing that. And that could be a really useful tip.
Yeah. Even a cake. If you bake the layers and then you just freeze it, you need to wrap well.
Because you don't want to taste like freezer.
And you don't necessarily want, always put Saran. I'm not always so happy about that because I think that Saran can give a smell sometimes to things.
So freezer paper?
Freezer paper and then maybe then put it in the plastic, like say layers of cake in a gallon bag and try to get most of the air out. But mm-hmm. yeah, I'm not real crazy about
Saran wrap in the freezer. Mm-hmm.
No.
Good to know.
Sometimes what I'll do is if I'm baking a cake, I'll stick it in. I have a really good covered dish. I'll put a piece of wax paper between the layers and just bake the cake and ice it when I get a chance. It stays really well if it's tight. It stays really well, you know. The freezing is a good idea, though, if you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice because then you can just pull something out and whip an icing up and you got dessert, you know.
Yeah.
It is nice.
Yeah. All right, so I'm taking my discs of pie dough out of the refrigerator. They've been in there at least a half an hour, maybe 12 hours, 24 hours. And now I want to roll the dough out and work on my pie. Do you tend to have your filling ready before you roll out the crust in this situation?
If I'm going to put the top on, I will. Yeah, if I'm going to make either a lattice top or a double crust pie, I absolutely do. Because I find that if you put the bottom in and then, you know, things dry out and the pie just doesn't turn out as well. Yeah, I think I probably
have everything ready.
So, I mean, if it's just a filled pie, a custard or something, it really doesn't matter. You can just make them up, you can make a bunch of them and then, you know, fill them. And when I'm doing a whole lot of pies, like I do when I'm having a big dinner, you know, I'll usually make up a bunch of single crust pie crusts. and get a few of them in the oven. I have a nice big oven, so I can even put four pies in there at one time. Get them all baking, and then work on my double crust and working on getting my fruit ready and that. But at least then I'm not wasting all my day, because otherwise I'll be wasting time while it bakes. I can be getting more ready to go in, so that when some come out, they're always going in, and that's usually what I'm doing. I'm making a lot of pies.
What are some tips you have for rolling out the crust?
Well, the one thing is, a lot of people try to take the rolling pin and, like, push it all the way across the dough instead of, like, working it back and forth from the middle first. And also, don't be afraid. Now, I said not to play with the dough, but don't be afraid to take the edge of your hand and sort of round out your dough as you're going. The other thing is, you need to have your board floured. And it doesn't hurt to put, and I'm saying a dusting of flour on both sides of your crust before you start. So it's not sticking to your pin right away. Your pin needs to be dusted. I would also say that the surface that you're rolling the pie on is important. I really did it for years. I had a metal table. It stayed very cold, and it just was the best thing for rolling out.
I remember that. You could do it even in the summer.
It was just gorgeous.
Cold. Yeah.
But now I have a wooden countertop, like a chop block, and it rolls out beautiful on that. It does. But I have a friend that I sometimes make pies, their house, and they have just like a top, and I have a more trouble with it. I don't know what it is, but the other thing is, and I'm not sure what you call it, it's very handy, and this is a new thing I've only had for a few years, is one of those blades with a handle on it. So in case, as you're going along, like, I always roll my pie crust up on my rolling pin and then lay it on the pie plate. But as you're doing that, if you have that little metal thing, if it sticks at all, you can just kind of slide that under as you're rolling it up, and it kind of keeps you from breaking up your pie crust.
I know, I'm always mystified by the way you can roll your pie crust right up on the rolling pin and then unroll it. I always use the technique of folding it in quarters.
Oh, yeah.
And then placing it and then unfolding it in the pan, because I've rolled the pie crust into a cylinder. Get it undone, and then I had to cut it in the middle, and then it wouldn't fit in the pie plate, and it was a disaster.
Well, the other thing that, if you're a newcomer to it, wax paper can be a help, because my mother-in-law, I don't think she ever rolled a pie crust any way else except between two pieces of wax paper. I don't suggest that, but, you know, if you're having a really hard time with it. But one piece of wax paper sometimes will help you roll it up on a rolling pin so that you can put it onto the pie plate easily, and might keep it from sticking, you know, if you don't have a good surface to roll on. Yeah, that can help.
When you're making a pie with a custard kind of filling, like coconut cream pie, pumpkin pie, do you blind bake the crust?
I do.
What do you do to blind bake a crust? What does that mean?
You need to, first of all, if you're blind baking a crust and you're not putting fruit in, make sure when you put that lining, you put that pastry into your pie plate, you don't stretch it. You push it down. So, because what's going to happen if you stretch it is when you bake, it's going to unstretch. It's going to pull itself back down into the pie plate, and you'll have this thing that looks all crooked, or part of it's down in the pie plate or whatever. I know some people use beans and stuff. Well, let me go back to, make sure you don't stretch it. You put it in there and you prick it. When I say with a fork, you really prick through it.
All the way through the crust to the bottom and all over?
All over.
Like how many times?
Oh, I don't know. A lot.
20 times? 25 times?
Yeah, probably. And in the crease, like in the bottom of the pie plate where it starts to come up, especially try to prick it there. And then even around that edge, that top thing.
The sides of the plate, you prick it there.
Mm-hmm. Prick it everywhere. I'm not a big put the beans in it. I prick. I will say that one thing, the foil plates that you buy a pie or you throw away plates, if you stick that down inside,
it just helps it hold its shape.
It does. And then, like, you only have to do that for a little bit. And then you can pull it, and it starts to bake, and it gets a little stiffened up, and then you don't have a problem with it. That I do find them to be handy, actually.
Okay.
And especially then if your dough's a little soft, it's a warm day, and your dough gets kind of soft, and then you put it in the oven, and it just kind of wants to collapse on itself. Yeah.
So then you bake it a little bit. Well, I guess with a coconut custard, you're baking it the whole way. Because you're not...
It all depends. I mean, you can make that pie two different ways. The coconut custard I do right now, I put the pie crust in the oven for like 12 minutes at a high heat. And then I pour my custard, which is just like very milky type of custard, in there and bake it. The reason I do the high heat is because it keeps it from getting soggy. It kind of gives it a start on baking. You can do that with pumpkin too. Well, pumpkin usually you put in at a really high heat first and then turn it down to low. But that high heat gets that crust set.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing you can do, and I haven't done this a lot, but I have picked up on this, is take egg white and beat it. And then brush all inside of your crust.
That you're going to blind bake?
Mm-hmm. And it's,
hardens it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It does.
Ah.
That's a new trick that I've just
That's new. Of. I didn't know about that one.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the temperature at which you bake most of your pies?
375, 400 degrees. Sometimes.
That is higher than most pies recommend 350.
I know.
Why?
Well, I don't like soggy crusts. Sometimes I start it real high like that, and like with a custard, I turn it back.
Okay.
Like I said, it's to kind of set the crust. And then you don't, like I talked about how some pies take a long time. I also have a really good stove, so I have convection. I can put it on convection. I'm not big into convect baking, but it will get things done to the center quicker without burning, like a pie that's a deep pumpkin. I like to make really deep, so it takes a while, you know, to get that done. Now with a two crust pie, I think probably 375 is probably as hot as you really do want it, because you do have to be careful that you're not get that top crust burned in them all over the place. I'd love to make lattice tops and make them all fancy. And I have some things where you can cut out apples and decorate and little pumpkins and all kinds of stuff. So I get a little creative with the pies, which is, it's neat. It's just fun.
Yeah.
It's just fun. And then the tops, you could take and brush your dough with milk, cream, or you could beat an egg white, and then if you sprinkle some sugar, it could just be regular sugar, or if you want to, you can get a really nice white fancy sugar, and just put a little bit on it. Just, I don't know, it makes your pie glisten when it comes out.
It does, they sparkle.
Yeah, it's nice. It's very nice.
And you have that texture experience too when you're eating the pie and you get that bit of crust and it has that hardened caramelized sugar on it. It really, it's a flavor profile. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also when you brush it with that, you can, if you've made some mistakes, if you've never made a lattice, you can kind of glue together and sprinkle over and kind of maybe put your mistakes underneath where the lattice comes over, and I don't know, you can sort of make your pie look a little more like you're professional, even if you're not. Yeah.
All right, so at the beginning you mentioned you don't like when people mess up your pies when they're cutting them. So let's talk about just our regular crust pies, and then we'll talk about something more delicate like lemon meringue. What should you keep in mind when you're going to cut your pie? I assume it should not be hot, even though you can't wait. Don't cut it hot.
Well.
It can be a mess, then.
Well, the problem with fruit pies is sometimes they're not set. Have I cut into them when they're like that? Oh, yeah. I have someone I make pies for now that loves to cut into them when they're like that. It doesn't matter. Like
the whole thing is sliding out.
Pushing toward the center. Whatever. But, you know, it's better if you wait a little bit. Now, an apple pie, if it's not real juicy or something, you can cut them when they're pretty warm. To be honest with you, I never ate pies that much when they were warm. And lately, I have eaten more pies when they're warm. There's nothing like a warm apple pie or peach pie or something with just a little tiny bit of really good vanilla ice cream or something on it, or cream. It's delicious. It melts into it, and it's just gorgeous and delicious. And yeah, why not? Do you remember, Sarah, the first time we made that peach pie recipe?
We couldn't believe it.
We ate the whole pie. Not just you and I, but... In all fairness.
The family.
Yeah.
Where did you get that recipe?
Aunt Marie.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Country peach pie.
But it's so different because the crust is a little bit of a different recipe, right? Mm-hmm. And then it has almond extract and lemon.
Yeah, the lemon and lemon peel in there brings the taste of the peaches out. And then you make... the crumb on the top, and we didn't talk about crumb tops, but the crumb on the top has brown sugar in it. And I just think the brown sugar with the peaches with the lemon is just... Mm. Now, recently I made that, and I did put the almond extract in the crust, and it was really good. Just added a little, because peach is good, and cherry is very good with almond.
Well, you said any stone fruit.
Yeah.
It's always good to add a little bit of almond extract.
Almond, lemon, or orange, I would say. Any of those things. And it doesn't have to be extract. It could be fresh juice. It could be...
A little grated rind.
Yeah, a little grated rind. Yeah. It makes your pie, instead of just being good, it's special.
Well, I think layering the flavor, a lot of times we think about the filling of the pie as having the flavor and the crust is just the crust. But interesting things happen if you start to put... some of the flavor in the crust, something else is going on in the filling, and then if you have some kind of crumb top, you could have another flavor element going on in that, and you can do everything very subtly, but when it comes together, it's very interesting.
Yeah, and if you're making a crumb top, usually that is a flour and butter and sugar. And early on when I made pies, it was just white sugar and flour and butter.
But after we started making that peach pie.
And also I've gotten into putting a handful of oats in, a handful of chopped nuts in. Yeah. Just really,
coconut flakes.
Coconut, all kinds of things. Yeah. It just makes, I don't know, like I said, you go from making a pie to making something really special.
True.
Even I smell it in the oven and say,
How do you successfully cut a lemon meringue pie?
You should have your knife in ice water.
Ice water?
Yeah, and then take it out, slice, and really you should keep putting it back in there.
A serrated knife or a chef's knife?
Yeah, more of a very thin blade, flat blade, I would say, is the best to cut that with. The meringue, sticky meringue does want
to... Wants to cling to your knife and you can wreck it.
You can. Now, as far as meringues, you know, if you're doing a meringue, don't be afraid to leave it in the oven a little longer and let it get a little bit browner. Because I think it doesn't weep as much. And, I don't know, some people know what weeping is. But it's like little droplets that get all over the top of the meringue. And it just makes it easier to cut, I think.
So let that meringue dry out a little bit more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you do have to keep an eye on it because you can burn it, but, you know, it's happened. No matter what I do to them, they eat them. I've burned them. I'm not bad, but, you know, I've done all kinds of, oh, no, it's gone. So
on Saturday, hopefully, by the time you sit down to dinner, the help sits down to dinner at the church dinner. Hopefully there'll be a few pieces of your pie hanging around. If you can ever get a piece of your pie, what's really on your mind after making all those pies? Do you have a favorite?
I like strawberry rhubarb a lot. I will say. And I like any of the fruit, the berry pies. Mm-hmm. You know, apple and peach are good. I do like them, but yeah, I think I would go toward that. If I'm really in a mood, I might take a little sliver of pecan. There'll never be any of that left, though. There's rare that there's any of mine left. I look around. It's terrible. It's sort of selfish of me. It's awful. But I want a good piece of pie. After I've made like 14 pies, it would be nice. And I've even taken pies to the dinner that have slices taken out of them. There's a piece gone. And they still accept them and cut them up.
Well, that's what you should do. You should slice a piece of pecan pie, put it in a little container, and leave it at home.
So because most of the pies I make, I don't get a slice of. I don't get a taste of, you know. So, but yeah. Actually, it's interesting what they do like. They love banana cream. And I'm really surprised about that. But, oh, people rave about, they rave about strawberry, but they love pecan.
Well, do you think maybe something the popularity, different. It could be something different, but it could be also what you crave after
eating heavy.
A lot. They're eating a roast beef dinner with all the trimmings.
Yeah.
And maybe they crave different things at the end of a meal like that.
Yeah, it could be. I think probably that's why they'll almost always take a piece of lemon because it's a little bit lighter. And even custards.
And it's a little sharp, so it cleanses your palate
a little bit. It does. We actually, I don't make a lot of lemon because there's a lot of people they actually make something that's not a pie. I'm not really crazy
about it. It's like a pan square kind of thing.
Yeah. It has Cool Whip on it, which I'm not really into, but. Mm-mm. But whatever. I do find that that's pretty good if you use whipped cream on it, though.
All right, last question. Where do you stand on pie for breakfast?
Is it pizza pie or... I'll even eat pizza pie for breakfast.
Even pizza pie is okay for breakfast?
Yeah.
You've loosened up quite a bit.
I'm not really into eating pie for breakfast, but I will say, for some reason, pumpkin pie... really appeals to me lately. I don't know if it's something that I need or what, but I will eat a piece of pumpkin pie for breakfast. I will. There's one thing, though, something else I want to say about pies. People cover them with that darn thing, Saran. And I think if you're going to ruin a pie, that's the quickest way to ruin it.
Covering it with Saran wrap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I have pie baskets. When I move my pies, I have them not covered in a... I mean, not covered with any foil or anything like that. If I do cover them at all, I'll use a piece of wax paper, and it'll just lay on the top. Because what just happens is
to keep dust or hair or anything out. Okay.
It gets soggy. It gets, especially a lot of people make a pie and then they wrap it, and it's like, it just kind of steams. The crust gets not crisp.
Mm.
Yeah.
No. So I guess that idea of a pie cupboard... Mm-hmm. Is there's air circulating, but it's away from dust or pets or anything like that.
So when you make 12 or 14 pies, you have to think about what you're going to do with them overnight. So I usually have them on the table, and I'll either throw clean tea towels over them or like a clean cotton tablecloth just to make sure that nothing gets in them and that they're safe. After they're cool, I do that. Yeah. So, you know, and like I said, when I put them in the baskets, I will keep them not covered. Once in a while, I'll cover something because I have it in a box or I have something, and then just a sheet of wax paper over it. Makes all the difference. I mean, I can't even tell you. You take one of my pies and you cover it with Saran, it just isn't so good.
Wow.
It just ruins it. Yeah. I'm not a fan of Saran wrap. I guess you can tell that.
Well, I haven't bought it in... I think 5 years. So
okay.
You have me convinced.
Yeah, I'm not.
Okay.
So happy pie making, everybody.
Mom, it's a wealth of information. Thank you so much.
Acorns are dropping off my Jenny's house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Thanks for listening. Music in today's episode is So Wheat. Music and lyrics by Samuel St. Thomas, performed by Krista Long and Cesar Diaz. If you enjoyed today's episode, I hope you will consider leaving a star rating or a review on iTunes or liking the show's Facebook page. You can also join the Yarns at Yin Hu group on Ravelry. Eat well and stay strong as you hone your post-apocalyptic skill set this week.
Sycamore trees are blazing like a rainbow fire, just like when the curtains burn out on a wire. It's a subway nature thing. It's a subway nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
You know what? Don't be afraid. Roll it out. It'll be all right. If it's not perfect the first time, just patch it up a little. And bake it up. Yum, yum. And use fresh, good ingredients.
Nature's ever get you high, till your face is smile. Jump a river naked, hike a country mile. It's a subway nature thing. It's a subway nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.